Hey there, welcome to this episode of What's the Truth. My name is Jessica Hoddle, and today we're just going to be talking about how to have a consistent prayer life with Val Warner. I love this conversation with Val because I think there's many times where we believe that, like, why do we need to pray? I feel like my prayers are not being answered. They're not being heard. You're feeling frustrated. It almost feels like one bad thing's happening after another and you just can't find your grip or your footing. So today Val is just gonna talk, one, about her new book, but two, really practical takeaways for building a consistent prayer life and what it looks like to have this more deep relationship with the Father, and not just what God can do for us, you know, not him being this magic genie or transactional, but really a God of transformation and what prayer really does for us and our relationship with him. Val's mission is really to help women live intentional lives that are an outflow of a fruitful, focused prayer life. Say that a couple times fast. She is the author of Pray Confidently and Consistently, Grumpy Mom Takes a Holiday, Springboard Prayers, and The Finishing School. And she is the owner of Val Marie Paper. Before we head off to the interview today, I'm here to invite you into this invitation to begin to heal from the shame that you feel. Maybe you feel like you're stuck in your past, living from your past, reacting. Maybe you feel like you don't know where to start when it comes to healing, or you're just so busy that you don't even know what to do because, well, it feels like every minute and second of your day has something to do. My new book, Face Off With Your Feelings, is available for pre-order today. How free would you feel if your feelings didn't get the final say in your life, but God's word did? It doesn't matter if you feel too busy to slow down, believe you're not worth the time, the effort, or the fight. Maybe you feel so overwhelmed, like I said, you don't know where to start, and you don't know how to take your thoughts captive. Maybe you don't recognize how to question your thoughts or renew your mind. But my new book helps you to create space, step by step, to heal the tender places of your soul. So before you head off to the interview, hit pause, go pre-order your copy today. The books will be shipping in November where you'll be able to actually hold it. But pre-orders are so important just to help the process and be able to help you in a better way. Okay, let's go ahead and get to the interview.
Val, I am so honored that you are here with us to talk about your new book and for us to just get started talking about prayer. I want to just start off with maybe a little bit of a heavier, weightier question that I think comes for us all is, how do we keep fighting? How do we keep going when it feels like our prayers are kind of, you know, hitting a wall and bouncing back? Like they're just not getting to God somehow. And what would you encourage or have to share about those moments when it just feels like nothing is moving?
Yeah. So I wrapped up the book with this chapter on how to keep praying when you're just so tired of praying for the same thing. It can be discouraging, and it kind of just feels pointless if you're not seeing anything happen, you know, and especially if you hear other people talk and you've heard stories and you're just like, this is not what I'm experiencing in prayer. It can be very difficult. I would say one of the things that has encouraged me the most to keep going in those seasons is knowing the beauty of what we are, of how glorifying it is to God, our obedience to keep talking to him. He has said in his word over and over again, pray without ceasing, keep coming to me, ask me. There's like a parable that literally says, this is teaching you to not give up, to keep praying. So we know his word tells us that. So when we do that, even when it's hard, it is so glorifying to God. And I give this analogy of like, if every time we prayed, it was like a slot machine or a vending machine. If we put a dollar in and we get something out, like a dog could learn to keep doing that. Like that's like something that's just automatic. Like, of course, we're going to keep praying if every single time we say something immediately happens. But we reveal our faith. We reveal that we like believe what God is saying is true when we cannot see it. That is faith, is believing what we cannot see. So I think that doesn't necessarily make it easy, but just knowing that helps me to know that like what I'm doing is glorifying God. It's making him smile, and it helps me to not feel like I'm wasting my time, if that makes sense.
No, that's really good. And I was just thinking, it really proves like that steadfastness, but it also, I think, really helps you build trust and dependence. And it's like, we have to really put our flesh to the side, because we live in an instant gratification world, right? Where we want what we want right now. We send a text. What do we want? We want it back right away. You know, answer me. Same thing with an email. And I think it's very misleading, because we try to relate to the kingdom in the world. And so can you even provide some practical tips for people to stay in that steadfastness when they are like, okay, this, you know, I'm watching her get what I prayed for, you know, things like that.
I think the first one is like, and we actually start the book with this, so it's interesting, we're hitting the bookends of this, but it's just, we have to know who God is. If we don't know who God is, we will see that person get something and think, why not me? Why didn't this happen to me? God, do you not care about me? Do you not hear about me? We'll immediately think either he doesn't love us, he doesn't value us, or he can't do anything. Like, he's just not powerful enough to do anything. And those are lies that will kill our prayer life. But if we know that God is capable, that he sees us, that he hears us, that he wants to work in our life, we will be able to trust that if we see somebody get something that we want, we'll be able to trust that the Lord knows what's best for us. And this wasn't it. Yeah. So I would start there of just getting really specific on who God is. And if you don't know who he is, and like, you know, I mean, I know we can kind of just be like, yeah, we know who God is, but like, study the word, see every account. Like, a lot of times we can read scripture and just think, what's this say about me, or what's in this for me? But I remember years ago, just switching that around and just thinking, what does it say about God? And I was just blown away to see his character, his love. And honestly, how often in the Bible it literally says God hears, God responds. So that's one. I'm trying to think of other specific things. Ask me the question again. I have them.
No, yeah. What is one or two, even if you want to share just one more practical way that when we want to turn to the right and to the left, how for us to be able to stay focused on trusting and know that he is true on his word and his promises are yes and amen.
Yes. Okay. So yeah, I would definitely start there. And then secondly, I would not be afraid of a plan. Like, so often we could feel like, well, I don't want to like steal the romance or I don't want to make this feel like it's on my to-do list and it's rigid. So I'm just going to pray when I feel like it. And then that feeling doesn't come. It doesn't come until we've developed a relationship. So as you're developing this consistency with God, don't be afraid of having it on your calendar, or that still feels a little crazy to say, but I think it, you know, like having it as part of like a daily routine, or saying like having a set time or a set place where that's going to happen daily, because without it, like if we leave it to chance, it's going to get crowded out. It's just not going to happen. And the more that we just come to him in those, you know, every once in a while when I'm feeling really low or I really need something, like we're going to pray to him, and it's just going to feel so empty. And it's because that relationship is just so distant. But the more that we come to him, even in those moments when we're like, I'm not really feeling like it today, but Lord, I'm coming. Like, that is obedience. That is faith. That is, it doesn't have to take on this tone of like, I'm just crossing it off mindlessly. You can still have a routine, and it could be thoughtful and faithful. And like you said, steadfast. I think we just immediately assume if it's on my to-do list, then I'm mindlessly doing it. We don't have to go there right away, if that makes sense.
No. Yeah, I agree. And, you know, it doesn't sound stupid to me when you said, you know, put it on the calendar. I actually thought of when you before, you know, maybe those that are married, you would date your husband. And I know this sounds crazy, but hang with me for a minute, is that,
yeah,
you know, if you're not used to having a relationship with God, you know, maybe your husband before you married him, or if you're single, the person you're dating, whatever, you go on dates to get to know them. And then things progress and you don't really have to put it on the calendar. It's just kind of like a thing, and it becomes a natural, like, okay, we're going to do this. And I think if we just understand that our relationship with God just builds over time. And so if you're not used to reading the Bible, putting it as a date on the calendar and planning out time, I think is a beautiful way of just saying you're making it a priority and you want it to happen, just to build that connection and relationship with him, just like you would with, you know, your best friend before she becomes your best friend, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's just kind of a way. And I thought that was a great example, just to, you know, for somebody that is not used to, or doesn't know, or comes from a place where they never read their Bible. So I think that was a great example. And I think this can go right into this topic that sometimes I think we get afraid to ask for specifics in prayer. Mm-hmm. And we just kind of pray general prayers, which, hey, there's nothing wrong with general prayers. I also love the idea of very specific, like get specific about the desires of your heart and going to God. Cause it's not like he doesn't know. It's not like we're like keeping this secret, you know? So can you talk about the difference between, if there's not really a difference, but maybe both, right? Like how you can do a general and get specific and not be afraid to do either or.
Yeah. I think specific prayers are good because they leave no room for being able to call something a coincidence if God answers that. So like, if you pray for something specifically, if you say, God, like, you know, we're going to go hungry if we don't get $200 for this, and $200 shows up, like, you know, like, I just prayed for that. That was so specific. And we know we don't see those things every single day, but I've read tons of stories and books and faithful prayers through the years where things like that have happened and they weren't afraid to pray specifically. I think also, like you said, God knows your heart. You're not like telling, you're not masking anything when you just leave it open. Like, he knows your heart. But when we pray those specific things, we allow him to like change our hearts with it. So like, if I pray for something and I'm like, God, I'm going to be really honest with you, I really want this specific thing to happen. If this isn't what you want, like, please let me know. Like right now I'm praying for something and I was fasting and I was just like, Lord, this is what I think, where I think you're leading me. Stop me if this is not it. But I even think about if I had just been like, Lord, what do you want to do here? Like without saying like, this is what I think you're saying. Like, I just feel like it is, I don't want to say it's so much easier to get it, to hear from him or to have clarity, but it is whenever it's super general, it can just be a little muddy. And like I said, we don't know, something can happen and we can just chalk it up to coincidence. Cause we're like, well, I just kind of prayed that he'd work this week. I didn't pray anything specifically, but I do think like what you were saying about praying generally, I think more than praying generally is just praying with open hands. So like we pray those specific things and then we still have that faith and trust in the Lord that like he will do what he wants to do. And we're going to be grateful for that because it's going to be the best plan out there.
I love the saying, clarity is kindness. And when you were talking, it made me think of that because it's almost like when we have clarity and just this impression on our heart and we go to him with that clarity, I think you're absolutely right. It helps us to be able to process more with the Lord because you're being clear. You're like, hey, here's exactly what's on my heart. Is this what you're telling me to do? Do you want me to write this book? Do you want me to do this podcast on this topic? You know, and I think you can get more clear and be able to listen versus maybe praying something, you know, I don't want to say general, but I love how you said open hands, allowing the Holy Spirit then to say, hey, it's not going to be this, but it will be this, or it's not right now, but it can be right in the future. You know, I think that was a beautiful way to phrase that is really just not general, but more open handed. Now, I think a lot of us can just easily go to this place where we go, what's the point of prayer? So why don't we talk a little bit more about maybe your heart around this? And I know, you know, of course, your new book is all about prayer, and you have amazing prayer journals, which I highly recommend. It will have the link in the show notes, and I can't wait to get my 6 month journal. But I think we just kind of go, what is the point? And so can you just elaborate on the woman that is just feeling so discouraged in her walk with God, or so frustrated, and she just feels like, you know, what's the point of her prayers?
Yeah, no, that's, it's a great question. And I will say one caveat, like, I feel like having a thriving prayer life, like in my prayer life, I'm still learning and growing a lot, but like in those seasons where I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is so good. I just feel like it's honestly hard to describe the benefits and the beauty of it. So I'm going to share some of the just really practical benefits of praying, but just know there's some things that like, I just feel like can't be explained, because it is in God's presence. Prayer is with the Father. Like it is hard to like articulate the beauty of that and the way that he can transform us. But some, I guess, just really basic benefits of prayer is that the more that we pray, the more we will desire to pray. And the more we will desire God, what he wants for us, we will follow him more. We will choose obedience more. The more time that we spend with him, is basically the more time we're spending in this eternal realm. Like, you know, obviously we're still on earth. We're still surrounded by like worldly things and materialistic things, and just like this desire for more and things that just don't satisfy us. But in prayer, we get this connection with heaven, with this world that is invisible to us right now. And it just draws us into that, into a different approach to all of life. So those are some joy. Just Psalm 16:11 is my favorite verse. And it basically says that the fullness of joy is found in the presence of the Lord. And as a naturally melancholy person, this has never been, I mean, like it is completely true. It is the most joy that I experience is whenever I'm walking closely with the Lord. And peace as well. Isaiah 26:3 says, those who fix their eyes on the Lord will experience perfect peace. And that feels really hard to say sometimes, because it just feels like, oh, I'm reading Bible verses and I'm still experiencing anxiety. And, you know, like I still actually have lots of anxiety, but the moments that are most peaceful are whenever my full heart is focused on God, and he's overwhelmed. Like whatever my problem is, he is like infinitely bigger than that thing that was moments before, maybe the hugest thing in my life, you know, like when you're anxious about something, it just feels so big. But, I think it deepens our relationships with others. Like if we're asking other people to pray, like, or just saying, hey, what can I pray for you for? Like we're deepening our friendships. And that's one that I honestly didn't value in the beginning, but as our audience has talked about the journals and, you know, some of their benefits, that's something that they've said is just, you know, like our friendships are growing closer because we're sharing these intimate things. But yeah. And essentially like the transformation that we're going to experience is going to be because of God. And, you know, like if we feel like we have hard things that we kind of want to hide from God, or like unconfessed sin, or just like struggles, laments, doubts, we often think, I need to do this before I go to God. But like, it is only in God's presence that those things will be transformed. And in the book, we have a whole chapter on facades is what I call it, but basically like hiding things from God that we think he can't handle, or that we think are too much for him. And the idea is just that God doesn't love our complaints, but he knows that he is the only one who can transform that. So going to him is the only way that we will change. So those are just several benefits of prayer. And I mean, I think until you experience a little bit of that, it'll probably still all sound like, oh, that's nice, but it's probably not that, you know, powerful or transforming, but it really is. So I would just invite people to try it for themselves and to keep going and to see what God does with it.
So true. I think for me, I have really had to learn how to die to my senses in a way, meaning like what I see, what I feel, you know, because it's so easy for us to start living carnally just by our five senses, and then taking what we feel and sense up to the, you know, to the word of God, instead of the word of God raising us up, you know, to him. And I, when you were talking about desire, I just thought, you know, it goes right into intimacy. You know, the more that you're with somebody, you have that, you create that desire. Maybe in the beginning, you're kind of like, oh, this is frustrating, I don't understand. But the more that you kind of have those open hands and that willingness to ask hard questions or to discover, right? Like you kind of start unpacking the Bible a little bit more. And you, I guess you could say confidence. Maybe you start getting, oh, like, I can really do this. I can, you know, search out the scriptures and look at commentaries and learn this with him. And then it just starts to create that intimacy. And I think that's a beautiful thing. And you talk about in your book a lot, which is where we're going to kind of wrap up, but talking about what do you think holds us back the most and why?
Yes. So in the book, we talk about 15 of like the things that I feel like after 8 years of talking to people about prayer, like this kind of sums up the things that people struggle with. But I would say the one that we probably have heard the most is the second chapter about feeling like there has to be this right formula or this right way to approach God. And, you know, it comes in the form of questions like, is it okay if I don't pray the Acts method every time? Or how do I pray for something without, like without making it like I have to have this, or like just very specific things that have just revealed that people are just afraid. They're afraid to mess it up. And one thing I talk about is just that the idea that we can mess it up does not negate the fact that we should pray. And I talk about the idea in the Bible, like, when God talks about fasting, you know, he talks about people who would do it for show, but he doesn't say, man, these guys ruined it. Never mind. Like, just don't fast. You know, he says like, okay, we'll do it this way. And I think like, that's just good for us to know that like, we can't be so bad at it that it's better to not try. But in the book, I talk about three essential things that I think are important to have. And if we can have these, I think we can not worry as much about these like little specific questions that we might have. We can still talk about them, but we don't have to be burdened by it. And that is, if we can come humbly to God, if we have humility, you know, we can ask something and just say, Lord, this is just what I'm feeling, you know, help. Like, humility just changes everything. Coming humbly, confessing often, which we know is something that is just not a part of our prayers all the time, but it is a very real block between us and God. There's several verses in the Bible that talk about that, but I think there's a lot of things we think are the block, and it's actually unconfessed sin that is the thing that can separate us the most. And then the last one is faith. Like, without faith, like, we're just making wishes. We're just, you know, we might as well be throwing a coin in the fountain, saying something, or blowing out a birthday candle. But faith, it makes it so different. So those are the three things. And even within that, I get nervous sharing that because I feel like people are going to think, oh, these are the three new rules or whatever. Yeah. But just hold it loosely. Like, just come to him knowing that, Lord, like, I want to pray. I want to do this, but I'm so scared of messing up. Please help me. And he's gracious. Like, he loves you. He wants this conversation. He sent his son to die on the cross for us. Jesus died on the cross when we were still sinners, and there's nothing that we're going to do now that's going to suddenly make that like, okay, never mind. Like, that you went way too far, and this is, I'm taking this back. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that would be my thoughts on that.
I'm glad that you said and addressed that we get afraid to mess up. I think that's a huge issue. I know with women that I've talked to a lot is based on their doctrine and what they've been told about the nature and character of God, is they become they fear God in the wrong way. And they fear him, like you just said, they're afraid that if they take this action or do this and they get it wrong, like, God's going to put them in the corner. If they pray this prayer and it was I don't know, quote unquote, wrong or not the right words, we just go, well, I just want to pray at all, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
we just get so afraid that we are literally going to get punished by God if we don't do something right. And I'm just so glad that you said that, because I pray that it helps people, the women listening to this, just be set free. Like, it's okay. We will say something wrong. We won't do it right. But that's the beauty of godly sorrow leading us to repentance, right? Of being able mm-hmm. to go to the Father, because it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. And repentance is not like this dirty word, you know, it's just really this change in direction of how we're acting, thinking, and feeling. And so, Val, this has been just so wonderful. Is there anything that you want to just share the last bit of when it comes to praying or time with God that you want women to know?
Yes. Well, I would love to pray for them. But before that, I think, like, just in our busy lives, it could really just feel like this checklist, this thing that we have to do to appease God. And we forget, like, that this is a privilege and we've been invited into this. We forget the fruit that can come when we're talking to the God who made us. Like, He literally formed us. You know, we can go to our friends for advice. We can go to our husband for advice. We could go to so many people, and those are all good. But, like, we get to talk to the God who created us and created everything. And I don't want that to get lost on us. I've heard, what's his name? Francis Chan talking. And he was like, he basically said, I don't want to convince people that prayer is worth it anymore. It feels silly because it is so worth it. And I still feel like I want to still share that with people, but I just thought it was interesting him saying that. It was just such a good reminder that, like, this is not anything that, like, we're trying to back anybody into a corner to do. This is for our benefit and for our good. And I think when we get to see that, we get to enjoy it more. We get to just be blown away and be grateful for it, as opposed to seeing it as just this bird in itself.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you don't mind, I'll pray for everybody. I'd love to pray for your audience. Father God, I just thank you so much for this time, Lord. I thank you for these listeners right now, God. I thank you that we can just come and meet with you, God, that we can speak with you, God. I just pray, Father, that the blessing of that would not be lost on us, Lord. I pray that we know that the enemy longs so much to distract us and to keep us just so spun up by doubts and overwhelm and, am I doing this right, or I can't make time for this, Lord, that there is a purpose. There is something amazing in this, Lord. And I just pray that we would not let those enemies' lies stop us from praying, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that if there's anybody listening who just doesn't even know if you're real, doesn't even know if you care to hear their prayers, Father, I pray that you would in some way have had something in this conversation or something in this day, let them know that you are with them, you care about them, and you see them, God. And I pray that they would latch onto you so tightly and just be so excited for what you have for them, Lord. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.